A few more points about Sfiras HaOmer. So yesterday, just very quickly, we talked about how the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah of speech, to say the day of the Sfira, but it's a little bit more than that. And Rav Soloveitchik had developed the yisod that the purpose of Sfira, the function of Sfira, is not simply saying words, but it's actually counting. You have to have a idea and a actual function that the number means something. And that's why he explained the position of the Bahag that we incorporate into Halacha, that if you miss a day, you can't keep counting with a bracha. Maybe you can't keep counting really at all. And while traditionally understood that that's because maybe Sfira is one big mitzvah, and if you're missing any part, that breaks the whole balloon. But Rav Soloveitchik understood it differently and said, no, that Sfira is 49 separate mitzvos, and the reason you can't count if you miss a day is because counting is not just saying words. Counting means the words have to have meaning, and if you're missing numbers in the middle, that's not called counting. And we discussed yesterday how that difference in explanation has effects on almost all the issues that come up in Sfiras HaOmer, including whether retroactively would we say that if you miss a day, the days before that were also no good, or according to Soloveitchik's approach, no, you wouldn't say that, because the days from here on in are good. It's days from before, until now were good, because they're all independent mitzvahs. It's only after you miss a day that you can't keep counting, because it's no longer called counting without a full structure. But up until then, it is okay. So I just wanted to quickly add a few other issues, and then we'll move back to Bishul. But also because there is some synergy to be attained in some of them, so we'll just quickly mention a few of the more interesting issues that also come up. So one question that's relevant to this whole yesod is the issue was raised by some of the Rishonim as to why is it that you don't have a concept of Sveika Dioma by Sfiras HaOmer. And why don't we say that just like we have 2 days of Pesach and 2 days of Shavuos, which is itself a question, and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, this is all Daf Yomi, if you want to Maseches Beitzah, the beginning of Maseches Beitzah, the Gemara lays down all these principles. So why don't we say as well that Sfiras HaOmer should be reflective of a Safek and say today is 8, maybe 9. Today is 9, maybe 10. So the Baal HaMor raised this issue. The issue was very dealt with by Rishonim in the end of the Sefer Pesachim. And the approach you have there is that we don't want to be mezalzel b'shuas. Shuas is all based on the count of Sfira, and you're going to come at it from an unsure perspective, so that will be a zozel to Shuas. But the Dvar Avram, like we mentioned in the past, the Kavner Rav, the Dvar Avraham has a different approach. He's not the only one who has this. The Chuvas Arugas HaBosim has this idea as well. Others have this notion that the idea is that counting has to be a definite act. And that you can't count misafik. You can't say, if I'm going to count the amount of desks in this room, well, that's one desk, or maybe it's two desks, maybe it's four desks. That's not meaningful. It's only meaningful if I count with actual intent. So that principle, even though it's questionable whether or not the Rav felt this was the correct answer to that question, others quoted the Rav in terms of this question of Sveika Dioma differently than the Dvar Avraham, but his Yesod seems to be consistent with the Rav's general understanding here. Just to highlight the fact that Sfiras HaOmer is not simply saying numbers, but it has to be a definitive counting, and therefore, even if I'm going to say the right number, but I'm saying it together with another number, and expressing that I don't know which one is the right number, so that might not be a fulfillment of Sfiras HaOmer. And as far as synergy is concerned, so I think we mentioned earlier in the year that there are those who want to explain similarly why it is there's no Sveika Dioma by Chanukah, even though one could also say maybe because it's a Drabbanan, that's enough reason. But the question is raised, why don't we have Sveika Dioma by Chanukah? So some suggest, for example, Rav Nosson Gestetner, that perhaps the idea is, like the Dvar Avraham, that if you say the Mahadran of Chanukah, the eight candles for the eighth night, is all about counting and keeping track of the days, so then you can't have ambiguity in that. You can't have, well, seven candles, maybe eight candles. It's got to be a definite number, and that's an issue we discussed a lot the first semester in terms of how that mitzvah plays out. So it's a little bit of synergy as far as that's concerned. Some of the contemporary poskim. Question about that?
Doesn't the Mechuzchinach say that there really should be 9 days when the Beis Hamikdash comes back?
Well, that's one of the issues. So then, one of the approaches that some bring to the whole Sekhet Yoma question. There are a couple of approaches to that. We're only interested in it right now because the Sfira. So only mentioning that link. But that's one of the answers to Beis Yosef's question. There's a lot to say about that, but not the Sfira so much for Chanukah. Another application at that point, though, that some of the contemporary poskim, the Chuvos and the Chassidus book has a discussion based on the Aruvos Habosim's formulation of this principle. What happens halacha l'maisa if somebody is not sure about what day of Sfira it is? And somebody wants to count both days because he's not sure. He wants to make a bracha and count 2 days. Or, let's say, he wants to count even just 1 day, but he doesn't know when he makes the bracha. He's going to wait until he hears his shul, and they're all making the bracha together, and he'll wait until he hears everyone else count the number before he actually says it. So we say that there is an issue there, that you can't count me suffic. So even though the Arugas Habosim and others might extend that principle that way, it's hard to be so machmir. It's hard to assume that that's really a concern. You don't find the Rishonim bringing up these concerns, so it's unlikely that this is really a kvedus. Let's say, for example, somebody counts and he's not sure. He thinks maybe tonight is the eighth night, but he's not sure, but he goes with it. And then later on, he finds out he's right. So we say that, yeah, he did the right thing, but he's not yotzei because he counted misafik. There's no such thing as ambiguous counting. So presumably not. Presumably that's taking the svara a little bit too far, but it's just worth noting that it was a discussion in some of the contemporary poskim based on these questions. Hi.
Would somebody be allowed to do like a tenai, like say both statements, and if one is correct, then that one should take effect?
So that's an interesting question. We talked yesterday a little bit about the question of tenai and Sfiras Omer, but it was a different type of tenai. That was a tenai of, you know what you're counting, the question is just, do you want to do it now, do you want to do it later, do you want this to, when you're counting earlier than the preferred time. So if you have the tenai as far as that's concerned. But to say a tenai that you don't know which one it is, presumably, even if one accepts the whole concept of tenai, but if Varavram's concern is a valid concern, it seems like you still have that. Because it's interesting, it's a question in general whether one accepts the whole idea of a tenai, of a conditional mitzvah. But here, maybe this is a unique kind of issue, that the tenai, even if one accepts its viability as a whole, but it undermines the mitzvah itself. If you say that the mitzvah itself can't be conditional because that means you don't know what you're doing, so it's an interesting question to bring up, whether that should be particularly undeniable.
It comes up in Besa, though, I think, doing Meiser on basket of fruit or something.
But that's not necessarily a problem. So the idea that if we say that this mitzvah is uniquely focused on confidence, or is uniquely focused on knowing, right? So here you're saying that you want it to be, if I'm right about this, it should be this one, it should be right about that one. So can your tenai eliminate your lack of idea, if the exact lack of idea really is a concern?
Right, can't you say that we look with the separate glasses that each...
Right, that seems to be what you're asking. Like, you're saying that even though if I just say today is either 8 or 9, then maybe that shouldn't be good. But maybe if I say it tonight, I'm saying, listen, you should only pay attention to me when I'm saying the right one. So even though I don't really know what I'm doing, but the impact should be that you don't go, Dvarim Shebelevim, Dvarim, you don't pay attention to what you're thinking. So if a person said that he's not sure if it's really the 8th day, but he's going to go with it because it seems like a good guess, and then later on he finds it's right. So if we say that's good, and we say we don't actually read his suffix into the situation, so if we could really view these things as two discrete acts, and say each one should be looked at by itself, and you did it right, yeah, it's an interesting question, whether or not that would... Again, I don't think we're so machmir for this to begin with, but it's an interesting question to speculate about. So that's one interesting issue, just wanted to put on the table. Another interesting issue to mention in the discussion is that there is also a question about the concept of halacha, which sounds like it's a sugya, but it's really a sugya from the Achronim. The Achronim really kind of introduced it, so it's just worth noting that it comes from here. So we're familiar with the Gemaras that have discussions about Hirhur Kedibur, that if you think about something, does that count for a mitzvah that requires speech? We have a more accepted principle called Shomei Ka'onen, that if you listen to somebody speaking for a speech-based mitzvah, that generally works. So what about Ksiva? This is an important halacha maisa topic. That if you write something down, so does that have the halachic status of speech? And that has all kinds of implications. If you commit yourself to the obligation in speech, does that have the, in writing, does that have the power of a neder or of a shua? If you take Hashem's name in vain in speech, you in writing, is that considered to be a Shem Shemayim Uvotel? If you speak Lashon Hara, Viksiva, so many journalists are Samach on this, the assumption that that shouldn't be Lashon Hara, that doesn't seem to be much of a Shaila, presumably is Lashon Hara. There is a Maharsha that someone wanted to quote to say that Sheker is less of an Isser if it's Viksiva, and I think many journalists rely on that. But it doesn't really seem to hold up. That the point is that when the Gemara says, and we talked about this in the Torah time, that the Gemara says the last eight psukim of the Torah, so Moshe Rabbeinu can't figure out exactly how he wrote them, because they all take place after he dies. The last eight psukim of the Torah, so Moshe dies and the Torah keeps going for eight psukim. So the Gemara raises the question, so how could he have written those psukim? So the Gemara has two answers. One answer is that Yehoshua wrote those eight psukim and not Moshe. And the other answer is that no, Moshe wrote them, apparently with Ruach HaKodesh, anticipating what was going to happen. And it says that the rest of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, the Moshe Omer V'Kosei, that God would speak, and then Moshe Rabbeinu would repeat them and write them down. And these last eight psukim, Moshe was Kosev B'dema. So it sounds like, it's a question how to translate that phrase, but it sounds like he wrote it with a tear in his eye. And he wrote it as crying because it prophesies his imminent death. So the Maharsha focused on the fact that it says the rest of the Torah God spoke and Moshe Omer V'Kosev, Moshe would repeat and then write. And this psukim, it just says he wrote. So why didn't he speak? So the Maharsha says that since it's talking about something that hadn't happened yet, he's writing something in anticipation of it happening, he didn't want to say it out loud because mechzi kishikr, which is a phrase going to come up in our bishul usages in a few minutes, that it had the appearance of shekher. So someone quote that Maharsha is saying, oh, okay, so he's worried about saying it out loud because it looked like shekher, but he's not worried about writing it down. So apparently writing, you can do it with shekher. And see, the sheker only applies to speech, doesn't apply to writing. So presumably, as others explain, it's not what the Maharsha means at all. But this wasn't sheker at all. This was something that was true, it just hadn't happened yet. So to say it out loud, it sounds a little bit false. It has the appearance of sheker, because it doesn't correspond to something that was yet true. So Moshe is so makbid on emes, he doesn't want to say something which has the appearance of sheker. But in writing, it doesn't have the appearance of sheker, because writing is a different type of communication. That it's not communicated until it's read by somebody later. So if you write something that's going to be true when the person's reading it, then it's not going to even have the appearance of sheker. So presumably, that's what the Maharsha was saying, that the appearance of sheker wasn't an issue for the writing, it was only an issue for the speech. But of course, to write Lashon Hara, to write sheker, is just as much of an issur as speaking is. But when there's a technical requirement of speech, whether or not writing is included, so that's a whole suffix, whether we consider it to be like speech. So where is the sugya in the Gemara of Ksiva Kedibur? So you don't really have a sugya, it's really a shuvah from Kiva Eger. The Kiva Eger was asked this question. He has actually a discussion between him and his uncle. He has a few shuvahs back and forth in the shuvah from Kiva Eger. The question came up that if somebody writes letters during Shuras Omer, and they have a policy when they write their letters, so they date the top of the letter, and many people will also write not just the date, but what day it is of the Omer. So is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah Sfiras Omer? L'kula and l'chumra. So if somebody did this and forgot to count later, we say it's okay, you can keep going, because he was Yotze. Or l'chumra, if somebody wrote a letter this way, and then later on went to Meir and wanted to count Sfira, we say, no, you can't make a bracha because you were already yotze when you wrote the letters. The question that comes up with Kula L'chumra, so that's a whole discussion, there's a big literature about it, and it has implications for all kinds of other areas of life. And it's rooted in this issue about Sfiras HaOmer. So it also raises the question that is Sfiras HaOmer really about speech, or is it about something else? And maybe it's not necessarily so speech-focused. It's more about accounting, and that maybe accounting could happen through writing, even if it's not called speech. Maybe this isn't the mitzvah that really is about speech per se. It's about taking note of something, and maybe you could do that in writing. Maybe that's less of an issue. I was once had a Shabbos meal at the house of a prominent Talmud Chacham, and his wife was relating a story about how she went to a store for selling a dress, and the dress was expensive, and the salesperson wanted to convey to her that she could get this dress for less somewhere else, but didn't want to lose her job by telling customers this. So she wrote it on a piece of paper. She kind of passed her a note saying that she could get the dress for cheaper elsewhere, and apparently this was less of an offense to her employer that she's not saying it out loud. So when she told the story at the table, so her husband responded, after Shiloh, Kiva Eger, Kiva Kadibur. So that has implications for all kinds of areas of life, but the source is really here in Sfiras HaOmer, and it's a whole discussion how it applies there, how it applies to anything else. So that's that. But in terms of Shemaya Ka'ona, we mentioned a second ago, so as that reminds me, we spoke about this at some length last year, so I just want to say one particularly interesting point about it, without getting into the details. But it's also relevant because we've been learning about Arvus this semester in the context of the first parak, and I just want to address that for a second. So there was a machlokus whether or not Sfiras HaOmer could work through Shemaya Ka'ona. That normally, if a mitzvah is speech-oriented, so then we should say, okay, so then you could listen to somebody else perform the mitzvah, and you could be yotzei that way. So, should that work for Sfiras HaOmer? So, just to clarify, we're not talking about the bracha. Bracha for sure works by Sfiras HaOmer. So that's the more relevant example, really, that let's say somebody's not sure whether he's still able to make a bracha, so he wants to listen to somebody else's bracha, and then he himself will count Sfira himself. So that everyone would agree would work. First of all, you have to do that the bracha anyway, but certainly the bracha works through Shemaya Ka'ona. The question is, the counting of Sfira itself, could that be fulfilled by listening to somebody else's Sfira? So you might say, well, why shouldn't it? It's just a mitzvah of speech, and all the mitzvahs of speech. We have the principle of Shemaya Ka'ona. There are a couple of things to consider. One is to consider what really drives the machlokas, and we're going to run and others to talk about this, is that we have an emphasis. The Torah says, "Usfartem lachem," that you should do your own individual counting. So should that be read as to exclude using somebody else to be yotzei? That this is Spartan Lachem is saying, you should hear somebody else's counting, you should do your own counting.
Similar to lulav.
Possibly. So, but in the context of lulav, it's about ownership. I mean, you should own the lulav.
You can't own your words.
Right. You can't own words, and lulav, you can't really have somebody else do it for you. The issue of having, let's say, shlichus by lulav is not just because of the pasuk of Lachem, it's because the physical mitzvah, there isn't really a model for it. So the Tosfos Rid and others was really set down the principle that the shlichus like mitzvah should be gufo. You do it yourself, so that with your body, it's a physical action, so then you can't really have shlichus. So in the case of lulav, there are other reasons why you can't have somebody else do it for you, and the lachem is more the monetary lachem. So here, it's really a different kind of usage. But does that lachem come to exclude listening to somebody else? So initially, you might bring up a few points. First of all, it's not necessarily the intent of lachem, but it could be that the contrast is with, say, yoga, that there are certain counts where we have to keep track, but it's not the job of the individual Jew to do that. It's a bezdin keeps track. So the Torah could emphasize in the context of Sfiras HaOmer that this is not just that bezdin keeps track of the Omer, but every individual Jew. We mentioned yesterday it's a suffix about women, but let's say at least every Jewish man has an obligation personally to count Sfiras HaOmer. So then that wouldn't necessarily exclude Shemaya Ka'ona. It would just mean that the way to do it is through the individual. But the individual theoretically could listen to somebody else and fulfill it that way. It then provokes another question about how Shemaya Ka'ona works, a longer discussion that we won't have now. But does Shemaya Ka'ona mean that you are getting a ride with somebody else's mitzvah, so to speak? So instead of doing it yourself, you're listening to somebody else. Or is it an alternative route where you are fulfilling the mitzvah yourself. So one might argue that even if the Torah is coming to tell you you have to do the mitzvah yourself, that maybe Shemaya Kahana includes that. So these are all sphakis in the question. But part of the question also is that maybe Shemaya Kahana isn't really a speech-oriented mitzvah. Maybe we just use speech as the vehicle, but maybe the mitzvah really is to do an action of counting. And then we have to figure out, if you're not speaking, if you're passive, if you're listening to somebody else speak, does that even count as an action of, no pun intended, is that even ola as an action of counting? Maybe there's room to have a suffix as far as that's concerned. It's just, if you want to hear a particularly geschmack, lumdish question that emerges in this and puts together some of the issues that we spoke about in the past day and today, the question was asked by some contemporary poskim. Shalos and Chuvah, Shavit Tzion, he has a Chuvah about this, if you want to look it up. Now, what would you say about the following? Let's say, I like to hear Aryeh B'motzi Mim Siras Omer. So every night I go over to wherever he is, and I ask him to be motzi me. And then, after about 2 weeks of this, I get tired of it, so I continue doing it myself. Then, on day 34, I get a text message, that even though I've been going shtark, but Aryeh missed day 29. So now he's out of the game. Right, Chas HaShalom. It's all hypothetical. So now he's out of the game. But I never missed any days. But should you say as follows, that some of the days I was Yotzei through him? If he's out of the game, if you want to say that that's not only a problem for all the coming days, it's a retroactive problem for the days that have been. So maybe none of his countings were any good. And some of those days I used for my mitzvah. So even though I never missed any days in Sfira, but maybe now I'm also messed over, because maybe it seems that there were nights in Sfira when I did not fulfill the mitzvah, and if the mitzvah of Sfira was all one big mitzvah, then maybe I have a problem too. So that's quite a geschmack chumra to put all those together. But again, according to Soloveitchik, you wouldn't have any of these issues. Because we saw yesterday, he's distinguishing between the mitzvah and keeping the structure. As long as you keep the structure, you can keep going. So it wouldn't matter, first of all, there's no such thing then as retroactively messing up the days. So it's only a problem from here on in. And even if it was a problem, it wouldn't mean that I'm not able to continue counting. Maybe at worst it would mean I missed the mitzvah those nights, but that wouldn't stop me from going further. You want to follow that? It's a little bit complicated, but that's part of its geschmackness, how complicated it is. But in any event, so there's another practical issue, one of the rabbis' nightmares. So many of you decide to become shul rabbis, so you know that part of the responsibility of the shul rabbi, perhaps his second most important function, is that every night in shul, he gets to make the bracha publicly and count sefira. So as you can imagine, one of his nightmares is, what if he misses a day? Right, so then, what's going to happen? Is he going to have to announce to the whole shul, listen, I cut my salary in half because I can't perform this function and I'm not going to be able to count on behalf of the shul for this year? Or do you say, no, that there's no way out for him? So that's the whole discussion in poskim, is there any heter for the rabbi or somebody else who's counting sefira publicly to be able to keep doing it even though he missed a day.
Because of public embarrassment.
So that is one angle. There are some who say that if it's embarrassing, so kavod habrios, so sometimes a heter for din d'rabbanan.
Especially if we can paskin, though we have people in paskin like that. Meaning that.
Like which?
Meaning that the ones that view each day as a separate.
Right. And the truth is the majority, as we discussed yesterday, it's the majority of Rishonim really that say that you can keep counting even if you miss a day. So we're only choshesh l'b'hah. So you might say that makom kavod habrios, we won't necessarily choshesh l'b'hah. But there's another issue which is particularly interesting in terms of what we talked about earlier in the semester about harvest. And so you may recall that we talked in the context of chetei kedesh yizak and chavercha about the whole idea of the interpersonal connectedness. And that's what allows you to be mostly somebody else. Shemaya Ka'ona itself is not based necessarily on Arvus. But Arvus extends the principle of Shemaya Ka'ona. That normally I have to be chayiv in a mitzvah in order to be mostly somebody else in that mitzvah. But if I am chayiv, but I was already yotzei, then Arvis keeps it going. So I can go to the hospital and blow shofar for somebody, even after I heard a shofar myself, or read the Megillah, even if you heard the Megillah yourself, or make Kiddush at home, even if you made Kiddush in shul. Because Arvis means that if you're technically Yotzei, but if you're technically Chayiv, but you are functionally Yotzei, then the functional fact that you were Yotzei doesn't take away your status as a theoretical Mechayiv, and you can still connect to others and be Motzi other people. So could you use an extension this way also? Could you say that, listen, the rabbi himself is no longer able to fulfill Sfiras HaOmer because he missed a day? But maybe, very counterintuitively, he can still be Motzi other people. Because technically he's Mechayiv Adav. Now he is somebody who's certainly obligated in Sfiras HaOmer. But maybe he's just unable to fulfill it because it's like with a rock in his way. That he doesn't have all the elements to be able to fulfill Sfiras HaOmer because he missed a day. But the Gavra himself is obligated. So maybe you could apply Arvis in the same kind of way and say, alright, so he's not able to do it, but he is a Mechuyev Adavra. And therefore, the same way that somebody who's already fulfilled the mitzvah maintains his status as a Mechuyev Adavra even though he doesn't need to do it himself. So too, this is another extension of it, that somebody who is personally chayiv, but has an impediment, essentially, that he's not able to fulfill it because of his history here, but maybe he can still be motzi somebody else. So that's a very counterintuitive thought, but it might be true, that therefore, if the idea is the rabbi is being motzi people in the shul, even though that's not usually the way we relate to it, because everyone then goes on to really count on their own. But if the thought is that he's being motzi people, so then maybe that could justify him making a bracha. Because the same way he can blow shofar a second time and make a bracha again for that, so too he can count on behalf of the people in the shul and make a bracha on their behalf, even though he himself is not actually able to perform the mitzvah. It's a fascinating application of that Arvis idea, so it's another synergy opportunity. Hi.
Does he have to know that somebody has him in mind to...
That's a good question. How far then do we take this? Do we say that, okay, it only works if that's the basis for a heter? Would you say that it only works if he knows for sure people are doing this? Or if that's the idea, he does this for the shul as a whole, and who knows who among the crowd is using it this way, so that's enough of a basis to do it? So that's a little bit of a tricky question also. You'd probably, again, say that the tzirif, all the svaris, if you want to rely on this, that's also the tzirif, the fact that it's not clear you need that to begin with, and you have the day of Rosh Hashanah, then the Governor Brius is probably going to rely on that. Just one other kula, it's relevant to tonight, in case it comes up, that's a suffix in the Shubas Beis Halevi, that there is a Machlokas Rishonim, like we said in the beginning, it's Machlokas, whether Sphira is Daraisa or the Rabbanan nowadays. So there is a question about whether you can make a distinction that Rambam holds through his rights, most of the other Shem holds Rabbanan, but Rabbeinu Yerucham has a chiluf between the days and the weeks. Because the Gemara has an expression in the Tractatus Menachos, mitzvah l'mimnei yomei, mitzvah l'mimnei shvuei, that maybe we should view the fact that we say we count the days of Sphira, and we say today is 26, which is 3 weeks and 5 days. So can you say those are two separate mitzvahs? So the Beis Halevi has a suffix, which he wasn't really ready to conclude like this, but it's also maybe something to throw in. Let's say for tonight, which is a week night, one of the nights when the weeks are completed, the Beis Halevi said that maybe even if somebody has missed on a day night, so he's out of the mitzvah of counting days, maybe we can view the mitzvah of counting days and the mitzvah of counting weeks separately and say that you can still make a bracha on a night when the weeks are completed, because maybe that should be viewed as a separate mitzvah. So that would be an extra sniff to throw into the story.
Before, what were we just talking about before this?
About days and weeks, and about the rabbi and Arvis, and about the covenant of Rios.
So the rabbi and Arvis, okay, I don't remember.
Okay.
So, I'll come back in like 2 minutes.
Okay. So I guess we'll just mention one more point, and then I guess we'll give you a little bit more time to finish the Maamar Koma. We'll do the sacrificial tomorrow.
Okay.
But yes. Okay. Bingo.
I think this often comes up for people who miss a day. and they want to rely on the rabbi's bracha. Does that, would we say that works, or is that all part of the same?
You mean if the rabbi himself missed
it? Well, no, even though I guess we can assume that the rabbi didn't miss it.
Right, the rabbi is the, yeah, in general, that for sure should work. The bracha for sure work for Shemei Kona, and that's usually a general eitz, and that's really what we recommend if somebody who's not camping with a bracha. Because especially since, certainly if he has any suffix, right? If a person is mesupik if he missed a day, which could easily happen, right? If a person is mesupik if he missed a day. So then you can really make a case that you can make the bracha anyway, because we discussed yesterday the whole sveika issue. So since it's maybe a machlokas, whether or not this is really a concern, so you put another suffix on top of it, so then that's already a big sniff l'hakel. But let's say somebody wants to be machmir, suffix brachas l'hakel wasn't machmir, not the day of the bracha. So then probably the best aid to him would be to find somebody else who's counting sphere and to listen to his bracha and to then say the words himself, which is what people generally do try to do, and especially if you go to shul, so then it's relatively easy. Then whoever is making the bracha in shul, listen to them, and you'll count, and probably most people mumble during the bracha, so it looks like they're also listening to the bracha, but the idea would be to listen. So we'll just mention one last topic about this. That this whole question that we've been discussing about whether or not you can hop onto sphere in the middle, and what are the reasons to say that you can't, the issue of whether it's about kiyama mitzvah or about structure. So there is theoretically an interesting suffix in the Tshuva's Minchas Elazar. And at the Minchas Elazar, the Minchat Rebbe has a tshuva that what would happen if all of Klal Yisrael had the issue that the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt in the middle of sphere. So if we would assume, which you could really make this as a questionable assumption, if it's been able to only come up after the Yom Henef, after the second day of Pesach, otherwise the whole issue wouldn't be relevant. But the assumption seems to be that then the Chiyuv Sphira would be Daraisa. And if you say it's Drabana now, but it's Daraisa when the Beis HaMikdash kicks in, even if it kicks in the middle of Sphira, so would we be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Sphira Daraisa then? Or would we say no, that you can't start in the middle, so even if you're counting Midrabanan until then, but you can't make that into a mitzvah deraisa, because the mitzvah, on whatever level it is, requires all the parts. So l'chora, this question somehow also ties into the two different understandings, that if you say that the issue with counting after you miss a day is that you can't have holes, then maybe it's a problem to switch from the mitzvah derabanan to the mitzvah deraisa in the middle. But if the issue is that counting just requires a pre-existing structure, so then presumably, if you've been counting throughout, so then that fulfills the mitzvah d'rabbanan, then to be able to start fulfilling the mitzvah d'raisa in the middle shouldn't be a problem. But one approach you could easily say to this whole issue is we should be zeichah to have such shailas, and that Mustama Teku, Eliyahu Navi, will come and address that one too. Hi.
What's the reason why it might have transferred from a Daraisa to a Darabana nowadays?
So presumably it's because we don't have Hakravas Omer.
So if the Beis HaMikdash would be built in the middle of the Omer, would they bring the Omer?
So that's the question I was mentioning, if they wouldn't bring it down. So that's what I was saying, that it's hard to understand as a premise exactly that you could have a year where the Beis HaMikdash would be built in the middle and still be Chayiv in Sphira Daraisa, unless he's assuming that you don't need the actual Hakravas Omer for it to be Daraisa. You need the Omer to be active, and that even if it would start in the middle, so when the Omer is theoretically active, so then Sfiras Omer would be Daraisa in that context, or the mitzvah, the Torah of counting the days in between Pesach and Shavuos will still be relevant, even though that Hakravas Omer had to actually happen.
Isn't the question of the Beis HaMikdash coming in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah on the second day of the when they're supposed to bring the Omer, and what people can rely on in terms of when the Omer would have been brought, meaning if it was brought?
Right, well, Gemara says that we're worried the Beis HaMikdash might be built right before the second day of Pesach. The Gemara has two scenarios, that either it'll happen the afternoon of the first day of Pesach, or it'll happen at night, but before the Hakravas Omer of the next morning. So that scenario, that Gemara, is really not the case that he's talking about. Because presumably if that happened, everyone would agree that Sfiras Omer is Daraisa then. But the scenario he seems to be talking about is, let's say it's 10 days into Sfira, and all of a sudden the Beis HaMikdash gets rebuilt. So would Sfira Daraisa start then? hard to see how, but maybe you can make the case that if the Omer is theoretically now a Daraisa option, so then Sfira also becomes a Daraisa option. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here, so then you'll have a little more time to finish his Marmachomos, and we'll try to have a real push for these Xeris Drabanan over the next few days. Again, let's assume we're starting 10:30 tomorrow. Arya, you want to close? Okay. Ashrei Shrei Beisach, Jalut HaSalah, Shrei.